From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Lynn Neary. Today, we're going to catch up with two Marines we've reported on in the past. They were members of the 2nd Battalion, 8th Marine Regiment, called America's Battalion. NPR followed that battalion in 2009 on the home front and in battle in Afghanistan. The two Marines are back home now. One left the military, the other stayed in. And as you might suspect, their lives have changed dramatically. Here's Catherine Welch of Rhode Island Public Radio.
Darren Diepenbrook was on his last deployment when something happened that changed his life. One of his good friends was out on patrol.
He was actually on the corner of the building and got hit by an IED.
Diepenbrook heard the blast on his radio. His friend had been killed. 2 weeks passed, and this is the part that changed him. Diepenbrook's platoon set up camp in the same building where his friend died. They arrived at night. When the sun came up, he saw where it happened.
There was a hole where he got hit, and there was still blood on the ground.
There was a lot of blood and debris. He found scraps of his friend's flak jacket. It was a mess.
The first couple times when you pass by it, you just kind of sit there for might be 15 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute and a half. And you just kind of stare at it, and you're like, wow, you know, that's a spot.
That was more than 2 years ago. As it turned out, it was Diepenbrook's last tour to Afghanistan. Now he's living half a world away in his hometown of Bowling Green, Ohio. He still has a military haircut, but he sports a soul patch on his chin, wears ripped jeans, cowboy boots, and his arms are loaded with tattoos. His left forearm is covered with the helmet, rifle, and boots to honor those who have died on the battlefield. It's mostly for his friends. He's lost so many that he has to stop and count.
I'd be 13, 14, and then I've had a couple friends in the Army that have passed. Probably put the number about 22, 23.
All of those deaths weigh on him, but seeing the spot where his friend died, that's what changed him.
I have nightmares quite a bit. I mean, I'll go through like five or six and I'll just wake up and stay up because I know I'm not going to be able to get to sleep that night.
He says when he got out of the Marines and moved in with his parents, his temper kicked in. His parents got the brunt of it.
When I was living at home, that was one of the main reasons I wanted to move out because we were fighting almost every day. You know, they'd say something to me and it would just automatically spark me up and then I went with it.
Yelling and screaming.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing physical, fortunately.
So he got his own place. Diepenbrook also used to love painting, sculpture, pottery. Now he says he can't focus long enough to draw a simple chair. His dream before the Marine Corps was to become an art teacher. That's gone.
Honestly, I don't think I have the patience for it anymore. With my temper being the way it is, I kind of get a little edgy at times, and I don't know how well that would work.
To keep busy, he is taking some courses at the local university, but his old life still intrudes. He was in class one day when he learned a Marine buddy had lost a leg in Afghanistan.
I actually got a text message from my buddy. I'd pull out my phone, look at it, and I'm like, you know, just stop for a second. Just looked up and, like, looked around. My teacher actually walked over me, and he's like, you all right?
Actually, Diepenbrook's not sure he's all right. He thinks he's suffering from post-traumatic stress. He's not getting treatment. When I asked him how he is dealing with things, he told me alcohol helps. So when he's not in class, he sits at the bar across the street from campus. He's there most weekends, too, watching football. He has a girlfriend, but his closest friends, the ones he hung out with every night, they're still in the Marines. And even though he lost 23 friends and is no longer the person he was when he enlisted, Diepenbrook says he sometimes wishes he could be back on the battlefield.
Honestly, I miss the combat. I miss all the guys. I miss being a part of something bigger, something there that's changing the world.
There's another Marine from the America's Battalion who also signed up to be a part of something bigger. His name is Josh Apsey. When we first met him back in 2009, he was a teenager. We talked as he waited to get on a plane for his first deployment to Afghanistan.
My mother, she got me a journal, and she inserted a few pictures in there, and she's also written me a few letters, and then I have pictures of my girlfriend and letters from her as well, and then I have a Bible that I kind of keep all that in right now.
Apsey was just a boy on 9/11, but it inspired him to join the Marines. His first deployment was a personal mission, as he puts it, to face the evil that brought down the Twin Towers. By his second deployment earlier this year, the romanticism of a noble cause was gone. What was left, the need to survive.
My position was changed. I was in charge of Marines, and I had to make sure that they were all right. I really understood. I was like, you know, wow, you know, I could have very well have died like, you know, so many other Marines did, and, you know, there was real danger there.
During this second deployment, APSI had to decide whether he'd reenlist. Before the deployment, he thought for sure he'd get out. But APSI had a lot of time in Afghanistan to think about his future.
I got real with the situation, and I said, you know, okay, if I got out, what am I going to do? What am I going to do for money? What are the things I need to pay for?
So he did reenlist. He was 21 years old, just married. At the end of the day, it came down to a paycheck. Now he gets up early every morning and checks in at the Quantico Marine Corps base, where he shows new officers how to fire a mortar. Most days, he's home by noon.
Dante.
Home is an old farmhouse where he lives with his wife and their two dogs. It's tucked away in rural Virginia at the end of a dirt road. They just moved in, don't know their neighbors, and don't have any friends yet. There's not much to do but hang around the house.
So I have all my gear in here and then my uniform stuff and a futon if we have guests. And then I have my video games, all my DVDs. And
this is where he slinks off after work to play video games. He's covered the only window in the room with an Afghan flag, keeping things dark. The flag is a souvenir from his earlier deployments, part of that time in his life when he felt what he did was important. APSI doesn't know if it's the abrupt transition from combat in Afghanistan to the routine of job and family that's changed him, but something has.
Sometimes I just feel like I'm a robot. I'm just going through all the motions, but I'm not mentally and emotionally there.
What he's noticed is he's lost the ability to care.
I understand when things are sad, and I know they're sad, and I'm sad for them, but I can't really break down and cry about it. I can't really grasp situations and react the way I should.
It frustrates him that he can't put his finger on why he's changed so much from the idealistic 18-year-old who went off to war not so long ago.
That was Catherine Welch reporting. She's with Rhode Island Public Radio. And Catherine joins me now to talk a bit more about what's happened to these two Marines from 2nd Battalion, 8th Marines Regiment. Catherine, it sounds like both of these men are having a really hard time adjusting, which makes me wonder if they're getting the treatment they need. But you mentioned in your report that Diepenbrook is not getting treatment.
That's right, Lynn. Darren Diepenbrook, now he's the former Marine who had to pass by that spot every day where his friend was killed in Afghanistan. He's not getting official treatment. He was told that he needs antidepressants. They're expensive. He doesn't have health insurance. So he wants to see if the government will recognize his trauma as a disability. In the meantime, he's piecing together his own therapy. He's talking about it a lot with his friends who either were in the military or are still in the military.
What about Josh APSI? Is he getting any help?
Well, Josh, he's the Marine that's still in the Marine Corps, and he is getting help. He's getting counseling through the Marines.
And is it helping?
In Josh's case, I talked to his mom, and she does think it's working. It's the holidays. He's at home visiting her. And she says she can definitely see that he's improving. And it's interesting, Lynn, when I first met these families and the two sons were off in deployment, all the parents wanted was for them to come home safe, but now that they have some perspective, they realize the sons they sent off to war were not going to come back the same people, that the war was going to change them.
That was Catherine Welch of Rhode Island Public Radio. Thanks very much, Catherine.
Thank you, Lynn.